So we're on Daf Chavav Amud Beis, and we learned yesterday the sugya of Yesh Shvach Eitzim V'Pas, or Ein Shvach Eitzim V'Pas, and we're up to what's called Zevezeh Gorim, and this you'll find on Daf Chavav Amud Beis. You'll count up from the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara establishes that according to Rebbe, if you use klipei arla as fuel to bake your bread, then the bread is also. And that's called Ofabos Apas Apas Asura. That's according to Rebbe. And the reason for that is that when you eat this bread, you're benefiting from Klipei Arla. And Klipei Arla are Osur Bahana, as we discussed yesterday. Then the Gemara wants to know, well, what would Rebbe say about the Tanur? We're talking about a new oven that's never been fired up. And it needs what's called mitzaref, a tzirif, in order to strengthen it. And he used klipei arla to heat up the tanur. So the Gemara quoted a brisa that says, in such a case, ha-tanur yutatz, which means you have to break up the tanur. You have to bust it up because you can't use it again. If you use it again, then once again you'll be benefiting from klipei arla because the tanur was created, so to speak, by klipei arla. So the Gemara says that as far as Rebbe is concerned, we have no justification in attributing the authorship of the Braisa of Yutatz, of Tanur Chadash Yutatz, to Rebbe. Meaning, Rebbe went as far only as prohibiting the pas, the bread itself. Why? Because the bread itself and its baking was a direct result, the cause of that baking was the klipei arla. But in the case of the Tanur, on the second round, when you use this tanur to bake your bread, then the fuel that you use to heat up the tanur is Eitzim Shel Heter, and therefore becomes Zevezeh Gorim. Anything that's baked in this oven is a result of a combination of A plus B. A meaning the klipei arla that were responsible for strengthening and making this oven functional, and B, the fuel that you're now using in the oven to bake your bread. And that fuel is the fuel of Heter. So the Gemara says, Emer deshamet leila Rebbe mishum deyeshvach eitzim v'pas. What we heard from Rebbe is that when you eat this pas that was baked by the heat of the klipei arla, then you're enjoying the benefit of the klipei arla by eating this pas. But zevezeh gorim mishamet le. But to say that I can't bake my bread in this oven because the oven was fired up by klipei arla, did you ever hear Rebbe say anything like that? Rebbe never committed himself to the position of zevezeh gorim also. So that even though Rebbe would say that the pas that was baked by klipei arla is also, he would not necessarily say that the oven cannot be used henceforth to bake a bread. And therefore the Gemara now is embarking on a project to try to find the author of this shita that Zevezeh Gorim is Asur. And the Gemara says, Hello Kasha, if you have one brisa that says Tanur Chadash Yutatz, it has to be broken up. And another brisa that says Tanur Chadash Bein Yoshan Yutzan, that you could just cool it off and then you could use it again and again, even though it's a brand new oven that was solidified and strengthened by the klipei arla. It's not a stira. Why? Because there are two different authors of each brisa respectively. The brisa that says tanur chadash yutatz, it has to be broken up, that's Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer is the tanu who holds zevezeh gorim osur. And the subject matter of today's shir is how do you prove that Rabbi Eliezer holds zevezeh gorim osur? That if you have something that was produced by two different factors and two different causes, that since one of those two causes is Isurei Hanoah, therefore the object that was created, the product, and the result is Asur. How do you see that? That's what the Gemara is going to embark upon. So therefore, if I bake a bread in this oven and this oven was created by Klipei Orla, that even though now I'm heating up the oven with Eitzim Shel Heter, nevertheless that pas that's baked in the oven is Asur, because it's Zeves Egorim, and that's called Tanur Chadash Yutatz. Veha, the second brisa that says Tanur Chadash Yutzan, which means you're allowed to use the oven, you just have to wait till the Klipei Orla and the heat that came out of the Klipei Orla cool off, is Rabbanan. That's the Chachamim. And these are the Chachamim who hold that Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, and how much more so that Zeves Egorim is Mutter. Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, meaning even if I use the Klipei Orla to bake my bread, the bread is Mutter. And how much more so as far as the oven is concerned. I mean, the oven is like the pas. If the pas is mutter, then certainly the oven is mutter. But in the case of the pas, we have an additional reason to be mutter. And even Rebbe, who holds Yeshvach Eitzim Pas, could accept that the tanur is mutter because the Zev is Agorin mutter. And now the Gemara embarks upon this project. Hey, Rabbi Eliezer, where is this Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara suggests the following and rejects it. There's a Mishnah in Orla which is called Si'ar. Ilema, if you're going to tell me that the source for Zeves Egorim Asur is Rabbi Eliezer of Si'ar, Si'ar is a fermenting agent. And what happens is, this Nan, we have in a Mishnah in the second parak of Orla, it says, Si'ar shel chulin, vishal truma shenaflu toch isa. I have a dough which is chulin. That means even a non-Kohen is allowed to eat that dough. But the only problem is that something fell into the dough in order to cause its fermentation. And that's called CR. So CR is that fermenting agent that comes from a kind of a sourdough, and it fell into the isa. But not only did one CR fell into the isa, but two of them fell in. And one CR is called CR shel chulin, the other is a CR shel truma. And now the isa, this dough baked, and the question is, can a non-Kohen eat from this bread? Of course, a Kohen can eat from this bread, because it doesn't matter. Either way, whether it's chulin or it's truma, a Kohen is allowed to eat it, but a non-Kohen, a czar, is forbidden to eat truma with an iser, misa b'dei shemayim, very chomadika iser. Now, which one of these two entities, the siar shel chulin or the siar shel truma, caused the chimutz? Because we have a rule that if the bread is baked by truma, that's the agent that causes the baking is truma, then that bread is called truma. So the Mishnah goes on to tell us, V'ein bazeh kidei lahachmitz, V'ein bazeh kidei lahachmitz. The volume of the sa'ar of both chulin and truma respectively was insufficient to create the chimutz, to bring about the fermentation. It means we have to join forces. Only if we add A plus B, the sa'ar shel chulin together with the sa'ar shel truma, then those two could create chimutz. Is nitztarfu vechimtzu, since they got together, they joined forces, and they generated the chimutz. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that at least in one case, it is truma. Now, before we get into the details, we can already see you can see already the picture at the end of the horizon here of Zeves Egorim, because the ultimate chimutz, the result of the final product of chimutz, was the result of Zeves Egorim. There are two causes, and it's only when these two causes operate together, like the case of the tanur, you need the tanur and you need the fuel that heats up the tanur, and then you bake the bread in the oven. So the oven has to be created, and the oven was created in this case by Klipei Orla, and now you have the Eitzim that you use to fuel up the oven, and that's called Zeves Egorim. Well, let's compare it to Rabbi Eliezer's Zeves Egorim in the case where you have Si'or Shel Chulin and Si'or Shel Isa. I'm sorry, you have Sa'ar Shel Chulin and Si'ar Shel Truma, and Ein Bozek De Lachmitz, Ein Bozek De Lachmitz. So in this case, the ultimate chimutz can be partially at least attributed to the power of the Si'ar Shel Truma. And if you're going to consider this bread as Truma, it means that Zeves Egorim is Asur. So what does in fact Rabbi Eliezer say? Achar Achron Ani Ba. This is what I call, if you follow what I mean by this the Makah B'Patish Shita. The Makah B'Patish means the final blow. In other words, which came last? The one that came last is the one that actually caused the Chimutz. So for example, if you want to know what's the law, what's the status of this dough, of this Esau, it depends. If the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell in first, and then the Sa'ar Shel Truma fell in last, that Esau is called Truma, and therefore a non-Kohen is enjoined from eating this. If on the other hand, the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell last, so you started with the Sa'ar Shel Truma, so at that moment, if you would freeze that moment in time, that frame in time, between the first Nefila and the second Nefila, the first Nefila was Truma, and the second was Chulin. Before the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell in, there would be no process of Chimutz. So the Sa'ar Shel Truma, which came first, really didn't have much of an impact. Again, it did have an impact in the sense that it set up the framework or the potential for the Sa'ar Shel Chulin to now clinch as a Makah B'Patish the Chimutz. But at the end of the day, in this case, the Chimutz was generated by the Sa'ar Shel Chulin. Now again, let's talk about the reverse case. The reverse case is where he started with the Sa'ar Shel Chulin. And what fell achron, what came last? The Sa'ar Shel Truma. Well, the Sa'ar Shel Truma would generate an Issa Truma only if you apply the principle of Zev Zeh Goreim Asur. Meaning that although the Truma was the clincher, the Sa'ar Shel Truma, but nevertheless it was standing on the shoulders of the Sa'ar Shel Chulin that came first. Chachomim omrim bein nofal iser lechatchila bein nofal iser lebasov li'olam eino oser. In other words, according to Chachomim, it doesn't matter one iota which came first. And even if the Sa'ar Shel Truma came last, it's not going to be considered as Truma. Why? Because the Sa'ar Shel Chulin contributed no less than the Sa'ar Shel Truma to the process of Chimutz. In other words, the Chacham are rejecting the principle of Zev Zeh Goreim Asur. And here we're going to turn to Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The only time that a Sa'ar Shel Truma, according to Chacham Rabbi Eliezer, would generate Truma is only if the Sa'ar Shel Truma itself, in and of itself, had the power and the potential to create the Chimutz. So again, Rakim Yesh Be Isur Levado, Isur him means Truma, Levado alone, Kidei Lahachmitz, it has enough to generate the Chimutz. Then the Chachamim agree, it'll be Oser, because then we could classify the Iser, again when I say Iser, I mean Truma, as the Goreim HaChimutz, because the Sa'ar Shel Truma had enough Kidei Lahachmitz. And if on the other hand, so now we have a whole discussion. You see this top Tosfos here. And Tosfos wants to know, according to Chachamim, what happens if both the Sa'ar Shel Truma and the Sa'ar Shel Chulin, each in of itself, could be Goreim the Chimutz? Because all we have here on the top of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph is Ad Shehebo Kedei LaHachmitz, meaning that the Sa'ar Shel Truma has Kedei LaHachmitz. That's when the Isa becomes Truma. Now, what happens in a case where not only does the Sa'ar Shel Truma have enough Kedei LaHachmitz, but even the Sa'ar Shel Chulin has Kedei LaHachmitz? Then you would have a situation of Zev Zeh Goreim. So if you take a look at Tosfos, he says, Pirush. When the Chachamim say, Ad Shehebo Kedei LaHachmitz, it means in the Sa'ar Shel Truma has Kedei LaHachmitz. The E.H. B'Isr V'Gamba Heter, if the scenario was that even in the Sa'ar Shel Chulin it has Kedei LaHachmitz, is Nira L'Rash B'Dishari, the Rabbanan would be matter that. So if both of them, each one individually, had Kedei LaHachmitz, then the Chachamim would say that the Isa is Muteres, meaning it has the status of Chulin and Atruma, and the reason for that is because Zev Zeh Goreim is Muter. So under what circumstance would the Chachamim Aser the Isa to a non-Kohen? That's only if the Isa Shel Chulin, if the Sa'ar Shel Truma had Kedei Lahachmitz, the Sar Shalchulin did not have Kedei Lahachmitz, and therefore we know that it was that the chimutz itself was caused by the Sar Shel Truma. That's the only case where the Chacham would say it's also. But now let's roll back to Rabbi Eliezer back on Daf of Vav Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer said that Acher Achron Ani Ba, which means that even though neither the Sa'ar Shel Chulin nor the Sa'ar Shel Truma in and of itself had the power of Chimutz, nevertheless, if the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell first, and then only afterwards did the Sa'ar Shel Truma fall in, then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even though neither the Sa'ar Shel Chulin and not even the Sa'ar Shel Truma had enough Kedei Lahachmitz, the Isa becomes Asur Lezorim, it becomes Truma. And the answer is because Zevis Agorim is Asur. And how do I clarify that from Abaye's statement? Omar Abaye, Lo Shana, when does Rabbi Eliezer say that we go Basa the Achron? And if the Sear Shel Chulin was Achron and the Isis Muteris, Elo Kishakoda, Shekodam, Vesilek, Esa Isur. What it means is that the Sear Shel Isa fell, the Sear Shel Truma fell first. But before, in the interim before the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell in, he removed the Sa'ar Shel Truma. So since he removed the Sa'ar Shel Truma, then we say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the Sa'ar Shel Chulin operated to bring about the Chimutz. Okay? So now the Sa'ar Shel Chulin was Gomer the Chimutz. That's what I call the Makom HaPatish. And that it did by itself. You see, according to Abaye, if the Sear Shel Truma is still in the Isa, then it continues to impact on the Isa. And then, even though the Sear Shel Chulin clinched the process of Chimutz, because the Sear Shel Chulin was not sufficiently powerful to create Chimutz, but nevertheless it would still become awesome. Why? Because the Sear Shel Chulin is operating together with the Sear Shel Truma. But when does Rabbi Eliezer, when is Rabbi Eliezer on the walk, matir the Isa, when the Sear Shel Chulin fell last? That's only because he removed the Sear Shel Truma from the Tarobas. Once he removes it, then the Sear Shel Chulin at the end is operating independently. Aval lo kadam v'silek es ha'isur. If the Sear Shel Truma is still inside the Tarobas, then what we see is that both the Sear Shel Truma and the Sear Shel Chulin are operating in tandem together. Is also because Alma Zevi Zegorim, also because Abai understood that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Zevi Zegorim is also. So it means that according to Abai's understanding, which the Gemara is about to reject, of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the only salvation here to this situation, to establish the status of this Isa as Chulin, is only in a case where two conditions were met. Condition number one is that the Sear Shel Chulin fell last, and condition number two, at the moment in which the Sear Shel Chulin fell in, the Sear Shel Truma was removed from this mixture. And Abai is standing on the following premise, that if the Sear Shel Truma and the Sear Shel Chulin are both operating simultaneously, and they join forces, that would be Zevis Egorim, and it's also because we always look at the Iser element in the Zevis Egorim. And Abaye would now support the Gemara's answer from the previous Amud, that when the Braisa says regarding to a Tanur Chadosh that was fired up by Klipe Orla, that Tanur is also, you have to break it, because if you bake a bread, even from Atzei Heter, in this Tanur, it becomes Zevis Egorim, and that's Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Zevis Egorim is Asur. Now the Gemara turns to Abaye, and the Gemara rejects Abaye. Will we mind the time of the Rabbi Eliezer ki Abaye? Nowhere in the text of the Mishnah in Orla do we have any support for the interpretation of Abaye. Dilma, if I want to be argumentative about it, I can reinterpret Rabbi Eliezer in a whole different way. Taima de Rabbi Eliezer, Why is Rabbi Eliezer going to be matter the Isa if the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell last? Mishum d'achar achronani ba. We have a principle called achar achron ani ba. In other words, at the moment in time when the chimutz took place, we look at the last CR that fell in, because we identify the chimutz as the chimutz of that CR that fell in last. That's called achre achron ani ba. Has nothing to do with zeves egore. Loshna kara v'silik asisur, loshna lo kara v'silik asisur. Meaning, even if the Isa, I'm sorry, the Sa'ar Shel Truma is still inside when the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell in, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Eliezer's matir, why? Because of a principle called Achar Achron Aniba. I look and I see what actually clinched, what force or what agent actually brought about the chimutz. And the answer is the Achron brought about the chimutz. You know, let's look at it from a time perspective. It's only at that moment in time when there was an Afila Shel Chulin, that's the moment in time when the chimutz took place. And therefore I attribute this chimutz to the Achron, to the Sa'ar Shel Chulin. And therefore the Isa is Muteres, it's Chulin, and a non-Kohen is allowed to partake of it. However, Avol Bevasachas, Hochenami Deshari. If, let's say, both the Nefila of the Sa'ar Shel Truma and the Nefila of the Sa'ar Shel Chulin, both Nefilas took place at the same moment in time, then everything would be mutter. And why would everything be mutter? Because we don't know which of the two caused the chimutz, right? You can't say that the Truma caused the chimutz, because simultaneous with the Truma there was a Nefila of Chulin. And in such a case, Zeves Egorim is mutter. The only reason why, in the case where the Sa'ar Shel Chulin came first and the Sa'ar Shel Truma came second, Rabbi Eliezer is Oser, that's because of Achrei Achron Aniba. But if there's no Achrei Achron Aniba, there are two Garmim, they're both Shavu V'Shavu. In other words, the Chimutz was a result of the simultaneous activity of both the Sa'ar Shel Chulin and the Sa'ar Shel Truma. At that point, Rabbi Eliezer is willing to say it's mutter. In other words, until we can attribute the final chimitz to one of the two, which would only be in the case of Bazech or Zeh, where there's an Akron, but if they were both simultaneous, that means Bevas Achas, then Rabbi Eliezer would say Zeh V'Zegorim is mutter. So what the Gemara is doing is it's arguing against the proof that Abai brought. Abai brought a proof from Rabbi Eliezer that Zeves Egorim is Asur, because he understood that Rabbi Eliezer was talking about the fact that we could always isolate the Gorim. And if we can isolate the Gorim, then if the Gorim is Chulin, because that's called the Achron, the Chulin. Why is... Again, not that the Chulin is the Achron. Here's the point of Abai. Because the Truma was removed. If the Truma was removed, then we no longer are Metzare. If we don't link up the power, or the what's called the pilut in modern Hebrew, you'd say the pilut of the Sa'ar Shel Chulin that fell second is not linked up. It's not, so to speak, Metzurf. It's not standing on the shoulders of the pilut of the Sa'ar Shel Chulin because he already removed the Sa'ar Shel Truma. But Enoch Inami says Abaye, if both the Sa'ar Shel Truma and the Sa'ar Shel Chulin would fall into this Tarova simultaneously, then Rabbi Eliezer would say it's also. Why? Because they're both working in tandem and Zeves Egorim is also. Says Gemara, no, let's be argumentative about it. There's no proof that, in fact, that's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Eliezer is saying Achrei Achron Uba, and it doesn't matter even if the Sa'ar Shel Chulin is operating together with the Sa'ar Shel Truma, it would still be mutter, because it was only at that moment in time when the Sa'ar Shel Chulin fell into the Starovas, at that moment the chimutz took place. But Enoch Inami, if let's say they would both happen simultaneously, and the nefila of both Chulin and Truma would be bevasachas, then everything would be mutter, because Zeves Egorim is mutter. Ella therefore says, well, we have to find a different source for Rabbi Eliezer that Zevese Gorim is osu. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah. Now, what you're going to see in this Mishnah is a Tanakama and then Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, that's where the Gemara is going to try to be Medayek, basically accepts the Tanakama. He only argues because of an extraneous technical possibility. But in the absence of that technical possibility, he agrees fundamentally to the Tanakama. So basically what we're going to have here is that the Tanakama of this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah holds that Zeveze Gorim is Asur. Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow for what's it called? There's a phrase for this one. You could have a door, you can open up a trap door and get out of a dangerous situation. What's the phrase for that in English? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Escape hatch.
How do you say escape?
Hatch.
Oh, an escape hatch. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to find an escape hatch. But in the absence of that escape hatch, he accepts the Tanakama. But basically, it's the Tanakama of this Mishnah Avodah Zarah who maintains that Zeveze Gorim is Osur. Rabbi Eliezer only disagrees because he came up with an escape hatch. So what happened in the Mishnah Avodah Zarah? So we have something called Asherah. Asherah is a tree that was worshipped by the idol worshippers, and you're not allowed to have any benefit from that, from any of the branches of that tree. So the Mishnah records, Natal himeno, ate him. He cut off a branch or branches of this Asherah tree, and Asurim bahano. You're not allowed to have any benefit from these branches. This is all derived from a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Yot lo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma min acherim. So we're talking about an Asherah. Now, normally, in the case of Avodah Zarah, we have a process called bitul. Bitul means if you chop off a piece from the idol, then that piece is mutter, and even the idol itself becomes mutter. However, that's only if the idol is owned by a non-Jew. If the idol is owned by a Jew, that's called Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, and there's no bitul in Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. So therefore, when this mission in Avodah Zarah establishes that when you cut off the branches of this Asherah tree, the branches are Osur Vanah, we're talking about an Asherah that belongs to a Jew. Again, I'm not sure who worshipped the Asherah, whether it was the owner, Chas V'Shalom, or it was a guy, but in any event, the ownership of the Asherah is Jewish. And since it's Jewish, then when you cut off, even when you cut off the branches, there's no din of bittul, and it remains Osir Bano Midin Lo Yidbak V'Yodcha Mi'uma Min HaCherem. A pasuk in Dvarim Yud Gimel. Hisik Bahem Es HaTanur. Again, this is so identical to our sugya of Klipe Arla. Instead of Klipe Arla, just fill in Atze Asherah. It's also about Noah. Now you use the Atze Asherah as fuel, as wood for your campfire. But not a campfire. In this case, you use it for fuel inside an oven. Now, if the oven has never been fired up, that's called Chadash. Then, Yutatz. Which means that if you would ever to use this tanur a second time around, the pasta that you would bake in that tanur would be asur because it's Zeveze Gorim asur. And again, let's go over the Zeveze Gorim. Number one, you have the Atzei Asherah, which strengthened the tanur, made it into a functional tanur. Number two, you now are firing up the tanur with Atzei Heter. So it's Zeveze Gorim. Nevertheless, Yutatz. We got to get rid of this tanur. We're never allowed to use it. However, Yashon, if you're not creating the tanur as a result of the Atzei Asherah, the tanur has been strengthened in the past, then the only problem is that you can't benefit from the heat that comes from the Atzei Asherah. So Yutzan, let's just wait a few minutes until the tanur cools off. And then you could bake to your heart's content in this tanur, again, only if you use Eitzim Mutarim. Afa bo es hapas, asura bano. If he went ahead and he baked a bread with the Atzei Asherah, no, to use the Atzei Asherah as the fuel to bake his bread, asura bano, the pas itself has the same status as the Atzei Asherah. It too becomes osur bano. Nisarva be'acheros. If this loaf of bread gets mixed up in a tarovus with other loaves of bread that are not osur, v'acheros be'acheros. And now after the first mixture, something from the first mixture got mixed up in a second mixture. So you now have tarovus aleph and tarovus beis. So kechol, as the story goes on, and it goes from one tarus to the other, the statistical probability of your picking up the chametz shell, the pas shell of avodah zarah becomes near Ephes. It's close to zero, but nevertheless kulam asuros, everything is awesome anon. And this is based on a principle that in avodah zarah there's no bittul. Bitaroves in avodah zarah. Now, why is it that there's no bittul in avodah zarah? So I have a footnote here in the name of the Ran. Hatam shekulam asuros mishum shehem kikro shel balabai shenim karos b'minyan. In other words, there are certain things that when you sell them on the market, you sell them based on a general evaluation of their value. But there are certain things that you pay per unit. Right? That the price is determined by the minyan, by how many items are you selling. So in bread, there's a set price for one loaf of bread. And if you have a whole bag of loaves of bread, you count how many bags you're selling. That's called a davar shebiminyan. And a davar shebiminyan is afilu bi'elef lo batel. There's a certain separate chashivus to something that's counted or sold by unit, and it's not bottle in a tarobis. So the Ran is understanding that this is not a unique halacha in avodah zarah, but rather the acheres b'acheres kulan asurim is because of we're just applying the principle of davar shebiminyan afilu b'elef lo bottle. Now I told you before that when it falls from the first taruvah, something falls into the second taruvahs. That increases the probability that you'll probably pick out a kikar shel heter, or say it the other way around. That diminishes the possibility or the probability that you'll pick out the kikar shel iser hanoah. However, the Ramban has a different pshat in this sugya. The Ramban assumes that what rule should apply here? That's the rule of svek sveka. Right, because when I pick up any kikar from the second tarovis, I have a suffix that came from the first tarovis. And even if you'll tell me it came from the first tarovis, well, who says that kikar, if it came from the first tarovis, was the actual kikar of Isra Nova Vodazor that fell into the tarovis? So let me read it to you inside. He says, I'll call Achas Yeshman Svek, a suffix echot shemazu mea kikros. Shahayu Khan Kodam Lachem. How do I know that in this second Tarovis this particular kikar was amongst those that was there before him, meaning that fell from the first Tarovis? Vafilim Tim Salomashizu Osa Kikar Shenofla Lakan Yeshod Lispak Listapik Shema Kikar Pas Zu Eno Zu Shenefso Bi Sura. So even if it came from the first Tarovus, but in the first Tarovus itself, I don't know, I cannot identify the pas of avodah zarah. Now it comes out, according to the Ramban's pshat, and it seems like many other Rishonim agree with the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, that if we're dealing with a svek sveka, then why is it osur? I mean, why should we apply the principle of acheres bacheres kulan asuros if there's a svek sveka here? So the answer lies in a sugya in Zvachim on daf ayin dalet, and the shita there in Zvachim is that avoda zara asura gam b'svek sveka, that the rabbanon completely suspended the operation of svek sveka with regard to avodah zarah. It's a chumra of avodah zarah. So is the other pshat that we mentioned, and that's the Ran in the name of Acherim, that pshat is that the chiddush here is that it's a, that a kikar is a darish of a minyan, and a darish of a minyan afil belflo, but has nothing to do with avodah zara. According to Ramban's pshat, on the other hand, that we're dealing with tzvek, that this is a separate chumra in avodah zara, a unique din and a feature of avodah zara, that there's no matir of tzvek in the case of avodah zara. Now Tosus elsewhere, Masechta Avodah Zarah, is not so happy with this approach, because since the Gemara in Zvachim presents a machlokas about whether Sfek Sfek is matir in Avodah Zarah or not, why should we interpret this entire Mishnah according to one man diomar, and therefore you're contradicting the other opinion? That's what makes Tosus uncomfortable with this pshat. So therefore, Tosus wants to say that we go back to the principle of Taroves, and within the principle of Taroves, we have something called Shtei Piyomim Berov, that you have Rov in the first Taroves, and then a Rov in the second Taroves, and two Rovs should be enough to be Matir, except for the fact that it's Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, as I said to you before, agrees in principle to everything that we saw in this Mishnah, except he has an escape hatch. Is that what we called it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is the escape hatch? And Rabbi Eliezer asks the following question in order to create this escape hatch. He says, how much benefit will you be gaining if we were to allow you to eat this kikar? Let's say the kikar is worth 10. Says Rabbi Eliezer, I have a way in which I can allow you to eat the kikar without benefiting from it. How is that so? Yolich hana liyam ha-melach. What you do is you calculate how much you gain from the isur. Now that's not equivalent to the value of the kikar, because the kikar itself might be very valuable, but the value of the Eitzim, remember that he cut off a branch from an Asherah tree. Now how much would you pay on the open market for that Asherah tree? Let's say you would pay, for that branch, you'd pay three rubles, right? And the kikar itself is worth 10 rubles. So you subtract the 3 from the 10, and you take the 3 rubles, and you chuck it into the Yam HaMelech after a good rainy season. And as a result, you forfeit that benefit. So now when you eat the kikar, you're only benefiting seven rubles worth of the kikar instead of 10 rubles. And again, what we're seeing here is that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah says, Tanur Chadash Yutatz, that if you heated up this oven for the first time after its manufacture, with the Atzei Orla, then the oven itself is Asur, and has to be broken down. Rabbi Eliezer basically agrees to that principle. He only says that if you want to benefit from something that was created by Atzei Orla, or in this case Atzei Avodah Zarah, then you can do so if you take the differential, how much of an increment did you have by using this Avodah Zarah, this Isur HaNoah, take that value of money and chuck it into the Yam HaMelech.
This is only if it got mixed in.
I would assume that this is only if it got mixed in. Why? Because if you have the original Isur, the Torah is not going to say, well, see here, this has to do with Briz. This has to do with Isur Gavra and Isur Heftu. What I mean to say is that what the Rabbanan did was they created an Isur HaNoah on something that in and of itself is not Osur HaNoah. What do I mean? Where is this kikar that was created by Atzei Avodah Zarah? I don't know where it is. It's lost. But let's go with the approach of the Ramban, that it's a Sfek Sfeika. So I don't even have a reason to doubt it, but there's a Churban Avodah Zarah that I'm not allowed to eat, because then I may be benefiting from Avodah Zarah. Again, even though Al Pidin I can rely on Sfek Sfeika, so then I want to set up a possibility of not benefiting from Avodah Zarah, so Yolech HaNoah Liyam HaMelech. Amru Lo, so the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Pidjon LaAvodah Zarah. We're not going to allow you to circumvent a violation of avodah zara based on the fact that you take the money and you throw it into the Avamel. That's like being poda the avodah zara. Pidyon means when you transfer the status of an object over to its domim, and now the domim replaces the object. So you want to say, well, there's three kopekas worth of hanoah here from the atzei of the atzei asherah in this kikar, and now I'm going to take those three kopekas and I'm going to be poda it. So that value within the kikar that was generated by the atzei avodah zara, that value is lost to me. That's a kind of a pidyon, and you can't do that. So again, according to what we said before, it could be that the Chacham understood that in this case there's an Isur Chefta, that the Chefta itself is Asur, and there's no pidyon to a Chefta d'Isur of Avodah Zarah. I can't say that this object was worshipped by an idol worshipper, and now, even though it's Asur Manoah, I'm going to transfer the status of the Avodah Zarah over to the Davin, and the Davin becomes Avodah Zarah. That I'm going to chuck into the Dead Sea, but the Avodah Zarah itself that was worshipped is mutter. There's no such din. But again, let's get back to our discussion. According to Rabbi Eliezer, in this Mishnah, if he was not molech hanol yama melech, he would also agree to the Tanakama, whether it be with regard to the Tanur Chadash Yutatz, or the Tanur Yashan Yutzan, or whether it be as far as the pas itself that was baked in this bread, that it's asur. He's only saying that you have escape hatch. So the escape hatch is that you can do this kind of quasi pidyon. But if you didn't do the quasi pidyon of molech hanol al yam melech, then Rabbi Eliezer would accept that the pas is asura. Now this pas was created from a tanur chadash that was fired up by Atzei Asherah, and now you used heter, you used Atzei heter to bake your bread, and now this bread, again it got mixed up in the tarubas, etc., but this bread itself has the status of Isur Hanor, even though it's a zevezeh goreh, because the tanur is one element that creates this pas, and the fuel that you're using to heat up the tanur is another element. And therefore, we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer holds that zevezeh goreh is asur. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof. Amor d'shamet leile, Rabbi Eliezer, where did Rabbi Eliezer maintain that zevezeh goreh is asur, since this tanur was heated up for the first time with atzei, with branches coming from an asherah? That's only avodah zarah. We have chumras in avodah zarah. We're more machmir in avodah zarah than we are in other isurim, because the Torah says lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherim, as if to say stay far away. And since it's chomer isura, therefore zevezeh goreh is also. But b'shar isurim shebe Torah mishamet le, where do we find that we, that Rabbi Eliezer extends this principle of zevezeh goreh to all isurim? You want to apply, for example, to atzei, to klipei arla. Maybe in klipei arla, we don't have the chumra of avodah zarah, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that zevezeh goreh is mutter, that tanur yutzan, and not yutatz. Is b'shar isurim shabbat Torah mishamet le? What's your proof that in other isurim, Rabbi Eliezer went as far as to say that the pas would be asura based on zevezeh goreh asur? So the Gemara says, Elim Kain, if you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer himself never accepted the principle of zevezeh goreh outside of the purview of avodah zarah, is aman tirmiya, to whom would you attribute the authorship of the brisa that says that chadash yutatz, that the oven that was fired up for the first time by atzei arla is asur, and you have to break it down into its component parts, meaning that if you would bake a bread with this oven, it would be asur, obviously relying on the principle of zev zegorim asur. So who is the author? We really have no choice. So since we found that there's one Tan who says zev zegorim asur, albeit in the case of atzei asherah, where there's a chumrah of avodah zarah, we're going to extrapolate and apply the principle of Rabbi Elazar and going way beyond the confines of avodah zarah and apply it to all yisurim as well. Otherwise, we're stuck with a brisa. We have no authorship of the brisa. And now the Gemara says, "V'yod." But furthermore, Hatanya Behedra, we have a brisa that says explicitly, "V'chein Hayu Rabbi Elazar Oser b'chol Yisurin Shabbat Torah." This brisa attaches itself to the mission of Avodah Zarah, of the case of Atzei Asherah. And although the mission itself initially presents a machlokas as far as Atzei Asherah, the brisa extends that machlokas and applies the principle of Rabbi Eliezer way beyond the confines of Avodah Zarah as a universal rule in all Yisuri Anor that Zevus Egorim is also. Hence, he's the author of the Mishnah regarding Tanur Sheisiko, Tanur Chadash, excuse me, Sheisiko B'Yisuri Anor, and the brisa that says that such Tanur in the case of Klipei Orla should be destroyed, that is Rabbi Eliezer. So basically, we have two answers to this question of mishamitle. One answer is, well, we have no choice because we have to find somebody. We have to pin this brisa on somebody. So we'll pin it on Rabbi Eliezer. But the other alternative is to say that the brisa itself says explicitly, V'chein hoya Rabbi Eliezer also v'chol yisurim Shabbat Torah. Omer Abaye, im tipsalom ezev ezegorim osur. According to that brisa that says that zevzegorim is osur, that means the tanur itself has to be broken down. Now, let's go back for a moment to Rebbe. Rebbe said that the pas in the case of klipe arla, he burned klipe arla, and on the heat of the klipe arla, he bakes his bread. That bread is osur. And now we go a step further. We say even in the case of a tanur, and it was a tanur chadash, etc., etc., any bread that you bake in this oven will be asur. And that's all based on zevzegorim. Rabbi Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, Imtim Salomar always introduces one of two possibilities. There's one possibility to say that Rabbi, who prohibits the pas, would also prohibit the tanur. That's only if you assume that Rebbe accepts the principle of zevzegorim osur. So if you hold zevzegorim osur, then since Rebbe has a principle called yeshvach eitzin bepas, so we can assume that since this tanur, through the principle of zevzegorim osur, has the status of isuri anor, then the bread that's baked through the oven also has the status of isuri anor. That's based on the principle of Yeshvach Eitzim B'Pas, which means that we see that the Pas is a result of the process that created the Pas, and if that process included Yisuri Anah, then the Pas is Asura. That's called Yeshvach Eitzim B'Pas. And we're going to apply the same principle to the Tanur, and we're going to say the Yeshvach Tanur B'Pas. If the tanur was heated up for the first time with klipe arla, and that means that Rebbe accepts the principle of Rabbi Eliezer that zevzegorim was also. But v'imtim tzolomer says Abai, there's another way of approaching Rebbe, and Rebbe might hold zevzegorim mutar. Hence, in the case of the tanur that was heated up for the first time with klipe arla, that tanur would be mutar. Just wait till the heat cools off. V'hacha. But the only case that Rebbe says is Asur is where he took Klipe Arla and he used the fire coming out of the Klipe Arla to heat up his pas. And in that case, it's Mishum the Yeshvach Eitzim B'Pas, that the Eitzim created a Shvach, and that Shvach is inherent in the pas. The Eitzim created a fire, and the heat of that fire baked the dough and made the bread. So therefore, when you eat this bread, it's as if you had hana from that which was mashbiach the bread, that which created the bread. In this case, it was the klipe arla. But in the case of tanur chadash, Rebbe would agree to the chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. Zevzegorim is mutar, and therefore, if you take the oven and you bake in this oven, that's already zevzegorim mutar. Says Abaye, but I'll give you a case in which certainly it's going to be asur, even if you hold in Rebbe's frame of reference, Evezegoreim is mutter. And what's that case? Hani ka'oros v'kosos utzlochios. Now these are various utensils that are used without heat. So let's take a simple case. Let's say a kara. A kara is some sort of a plate or a bowl. Kosos are cups. So you pour some liquid into a cup. Tzlochios, also a different type of plate. In all these cases, you're using to eat off the plate or out of the cup. You're not adding an element of fire. And therefore, asirim. Therefore, you would not be allowed to use these kalim, these utensils. Why? Because if you made these utensils through atzei isur, so the utensils themselves became awesome. Now, what are you going to tell me? But it's a zevzegorim situation, and we had one in Tzoloma that zevzegorim according to Rebbe is mutter. The answer is no. This is not zevzegorim. There's no heat element here. It's not like the tanur where you add the atzei heter to generate the energy. Here, you're eating directly from the plate, from the bowl, from the cup. Is therefore, since so again, what we're saying is the tanur and its status would be equal to the pas of yesh vachetzim v'pas, and we would apply yesh vachetzim v'tanur. However, we don't have to break down the tanur, because in order to benefit from the tanur, you're going to have to introduce an energy source, which is atzei heter. Hence, zev zegorim is mutter. But in the case where you heated up let's say, for example, I'm thinking out loud here. Have you ever seen the making of glass, right? So when they make glass, they need a heating process. So let's say you heated the heat of that process originated in Klipe Arla. So then the glass that comes out, according to Rebbe, Yesh Vachetzim V'Pas, is that's Osir Banor. You can't benefit from it. If it would have been a tanur, well, then I would apply the principle of zev zegorim mutter, because when you bake in the tanur, you have another element of heat that is generated by the energy coming from atzei heter. But here, you want to eat directly from the bowl. Is that asur? Keep Ligi. Where's the machlokus between Rebbe and Chachomim? Between Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar about zev zegorim asur, zev zegorim mutter? That's only the tanur ukedera. Because in a case of a kedera pot, what do you need in order to use the kedera to cook your food? You need an energy force, right? You need eitzim that you're going to burn to create that fire. And so too in the case of tanur, how do you bake a bread in the tanur? You need an energy source. So here your energy source is atzei heter. Is then l'man diomar zev zegorim asur, but l'man diomar zev zegorim mutter shori, it's mutter. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rebbe in the cases of Tanur Chadash or Kedera Chadosha. And the assumption here is that a Kedera Chadosha also needs what's called Siruf, means you have to fire it up for the first time. And if you do so, then it's a case of Zev Zegorim. And if you're all like Rabbi Elazar, Zev Zegorim is awesome. You're all like Rebbe, Zev Zegorim is mutter. Ika Diamri. Now the Gemara brings a second opinion about Abayi Lagabi Kedera. Afil Leman Yomer Zev Zegorim mutter. Kedera Asura Da Kibla Bishula Mikame Demitan Eitzim Dehetera. So Kedera is a different entity. Why? Because the tziruf in which you heated up this kedera, in this case with atzei isur, is a gemar hakedera, completes the kedera, and that kedera becomes asura even if you hold zev zegorim is mutter. Why? What's the logic? Shaharei yeshli adam hanos tashmish mimeno levado shemishtamish bo belo gorein acher. So in order to explain this Gemara, I'm going to give you a mashal from the laws of Muktzah. A pot which is usually used for cooking is not mukta on Shabbos. When I say mukta, I'm using that term loosely. The real technical term is klisha malachto le'isur. Why? What's the unique nature of a kedera? A kedera could be used for two functions. It could be used to heat up something and cook it, or it could be used as a storage. Now, sometimes you want to move something. So, for example, let's say you have leftover cholent in the pot. You take the pot, you put it in the fridge, and you'll use it tomorrow. So the pot now becomes a kli that's used to transport the contents of the kli. So is this a kli shemalachto le'isur or not? So again, I'm not going into the nuances of the halacha, but one could ostensibly argue that this is not designated exclusively for cooking. It's used as for transportation. And I can benefit from this kli in a very normal way, even without cooking in the kli. So let's say, for example, before Shabbos I cooked in this pot. And now on Shabbos I want to move the pot, which has contents in it, and refrigerate it. I'm allowed to do so. Because with the entry of Shabbos, it was not a kli shemalachto le'isur, I can use it for other purposes. I'm just giving you this as a mashal. In the case of mukta, the fact that the kli, the kedera, can be used as a clay otzar for storage purposes, that's a kul, because that makes it into a kli shemalachto le'isur. In our context, paradoxically, it becomes a chumra. Why does it become a chumra? Because he's going to benefit from this kedera the moment he puts the food in the kedera. I'll explain that in a minute. Even before he turns on the fire. So when we talk about zevezeh goyim osur, that means that this tanur is functionless, it has no purpose, until I light up the fire. And now I can bake something within the tanur. But in and of itself, a tanur is not used for storage purposes. Now, again, you could always argue, but what if? But let's leave out the what if. In a normal situation, you don't use the tanur other than for baking. Mashenkin, the kedera, you can use this kedera, and very often you will use the kedera, even before you cook in the kedera. The pot itself has a different function. And here's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is if you created this kedera, this cooking utensil, through atze arla, through klipe arla, because that was the first time you heated up this pot and you strengthened the steel, the metal of the pot. So now the pot itself, if you hold yeshvach etzim v'pas, becomes osur banah. So you'll tell me, but that depends on zevezeh goyim, because I'm going to have to turn on the fire, and the etzim that I'm using for the energy for the fire is going to be at atzei het. The answer is no. Because the very moment I put the food into the pot, I'm already benefiting from the pot. Otherwise the food would just spill all over. So insofar as the pot contains the food inside of it, it's already functioning and I'm already getting benefit from it. Well, I'm getting benefit from it without adding another element of a goreh, namely the element of the fire, because I haven't even turned on the fire yet and I'm already benefiting from the kedera. So therefore, according to the second Lishnah, Daha kibla bishula, the pot received all the ingredients of the bishul. Makame, even before nitan ha'etzim v'heter, before he turned on the fire of heter, so he's getting direct benefit from the kedera, and this kedera itself is also because of the din of yeshvach etzim v'pas. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tanur shehisiko v'klipe orla o v'kashin shel kloya kerem chadosh yutatz yoshan yutzan off of Boaz HaPas Rebbe Omer HaPas muteres v'chachomim Omer HaPas asura. What do you notice about this particular brisa that's quoted here from Shmuel? You notice the names, how they're lined up here, Rebbe and Chachamim? Rebbe Omer HaPas Muteres, but Chachamim HaPas Asura? That's Pumfaket, exact opposite of every Vatanya Ibcha. There's a price that says just the opposite. Rebbe was the one who was Machmir because he held Yeshvach Eitzim HaPas. Chachamim never accepted Yeshvach Eitzim HaPas. And here we're saying it's just the opposite. So the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer to this is Shmuel Ibchak Tani. Shmuel had a different version a different transmission of this brisa, and the names and the opinions are ipcha, are the exact opposite. So Rebbe becomes the mekil, and he's matir, and Chachomim become the machmirim. Now the Gemara gives a different reconciliation. In fact, Shmuel has the brisa the way we had in our base midrash. Rebbe is the machmir, and Shmuel and Chachamim are the matir. So what do we do with the second brisa? So here's where Shmuel is going to say Hafachas Adeos. He only changed around the names in order to indicate how we're going to paskin over here. In other words, Shmuel wanted a paskin like Rebbe against the Chachamim, and he wanted to be machmir that the pas is asura. Now he's got a problem because Rebbe, who's the machmir, is only a das yochid, and the Chachamim, who are the rabbim, that's the majority view, they are the machmirim. So we have a halacha rule in Psak Halach that yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. So the Gemara says the following: the Alma Kasov Shmuel Alocha Kirevi Mechaverov Lo Mechaverov. As a general rule, Shmuel would say in 99.9% of the cases that we paskin like the Chachamim against Rebbe. Rebbe is powerful enough if he's arguing with one particular Tana, but if he's arguing with all his colleagues, then we go Basarov and we paskin like the majority rule. But here we have an exception. In this case of the pas that was baked as a result of the fire of Klipe Orla, is he wants the paskin like Rebbe, L'chumra filu mechaverev, even against the Chachamim. And therefore, Sover Asne Ibcha, I will change the names, so that the people will realize that we paskin le'isur. If I would present it the way the Brisa has it, then the principle would be Allah Kirebi Mechaverov Lo Mechaverov. And if it's Lo Mechaverov, we would be Mekil and we'd allow the eating of the pots. But Shmuel held that in this case we paskin like Rebbe and we should be Machmir. And the pas becomes a pasasura. So how was he able to convey that message? What he did was he switched around the shitos and he said the Chachamim are of the opinion that the pas is asura. And then we'll understand that we paskin like the Chachamim, and people will follow in that psak, and they'll ask for the pas because they'll say that halacha is like the rabbim, and the Chachamim said the pas is asur. Now the only question that remains unresolved here is why did Shmuel paskin like Rebbe against the Chachamim? Why is this the 1 out of 100 cases, the exceptional case? As a matter of rule, Shmuel always paskins like Chaverov, like the majority, and the majority were Matir. Now, I have two footnotes. I have one footnote here, which he says, how could Shmuel turn around the names? I mean, what about the principle of Amita Shel Torah? You're not allowed to change the emes. So he says that this is a sugya later on in Psachim that Kidei Lahamid is Adin Lamita Shel Torah Mutol Adam L'Shanos. There's a special heter that you could make a change here. Kidei Shis Kablu Advarim. So in other words, if Adam Mevakesh Lomer Davashe Nishma, if a person wants to make sure that what he's about to say will be accepted, will be received, so sometimes he's allowed to. He's allowed to attribute it to an Adam Gadol and say it came from so and so. But that's one question. The other question that we asked is why did Shmuel in this case paskin like Rebbe? So there's a long footnote here, which honestly I don't think we have the time to go into now, and I think we'll wait until we get to the Shia tomorrow. Tomorrow's a fast day. Is that alright? I mean, we have no better things to do on a fast day, do we, necessarily? But the big question is Wednesday. I don't know, is there anyone here who has Purim on Wednesday? I meant to say Thursday. Does anybody here celebrate Purim on Thursday? No. So, Bli Neder will have a Shia, not only tomorrow for Tainus Esther, but also Wednesday for Purim the Prozos, which is not really Purim here in Yerushalayim. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to go to other places for 14, then come back and celebrate a second day of Purim in Yerushalayim.
I'm going to Suda elsewhere, but it's not my Purim. I'm just struggling.
Right, but even when I did that, it was usually in the afternoon, because if you go too early, you might be chayav in all the mitzvahs of Purim, you know, get a double Purim. This is such a Yerushalmi that says you can be both a Ben Prozzi and a Ben Kraft at the same time, if you hop around from one city to the other. Okay, I wish everyone a great day.
So somebody said to me short today, said that he's because I say Kaddish from Yosef and my father. So the person said to me that he's been saying Kaddish for 15 years. And he said
continuously?
Well, 15, but no, but somebody told him that there's a minhag.
Not the whole year round, but just on the yahrzeit.
On the yahrzeit. After 50 years, a 50th yahrzeit, not to do it anymore after 50 years. I never heard that before. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there was anything that did.
Sounds like a Kabbalistic notion.
But after 50 years, I don't know. I just didn't. Right. I never heard.